Morning, saints.
Morning.
Turn to Romans, please, chapter 8. I'm going to read the text, and then I'm going to pray. If you could read with me, that would be a blessing. I'm reading from the New King James, the MacArthur Study Bible. Praise the Lord. Amen. The title is "It's All Good," and many people use that. But we're going to talk about the reality of being able to use that, and matching up with the truth. Read with me, would you? Do you have the text up there? No. Praise the Lord. And we know that in all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Pray with me. Jesus said, "Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ." Then He opened their minds so that they could understand the Scriptures. Jesus prayed, "Father, I have made You known to them and will continue to make You known." Jesus, we thank You that You are the way and the truth and the life. You are the prophet of all prophets. You are the great and final high priest. And You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we boast in You, Christ, publicly before the angels and one another. And ask that You would be honored and glorified in our midst through Your word going forth in power. Give us grace to check everything by the Scriptures. Give me grace, Lord, to speak the truth in love and in power. And Lord, we pray that You would change us more into Your image this morning, O Christ. Do it by Your Spirit with Your truth, Lord, so that the Father would be magnified and so that we would be fruit bearers and able to call ourselves by Your grace, even in a greater degree, Your disciples. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You hear that term often in the streets, maybe in your daily life, at work. It's all good. I hear it every day. And the more you're in the streets, the more you'll hear it. It's big in my community, here in the north side, that is, when I minister around the community. It's all good. And just a thought about that. As we know, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel. The whole world lies under the control of the evil one. So, of course, those who are unbelievers think it's all good. It'll work out in the end. That's one of the major reasons why they need the gospel. Because for God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. They need an awakening. They need the Spirit of God to do a great work in their hearts. And God does that through the gospel, which is the power of God. So let each one of us not be self-righteous and hypocritical in our judgment, but lovingly build relationships and encourage and speak the truth in love and pray for people when we hear that and seek to glorify Christ. Last night we were on an outreach to the community, ministering mainly to the prostitutes and pimps and a little bit to the gangbangers and drug dealers. We didn't do that too much because we didn't have too many people with us for security purposes. And, it was interesting that at the very beginning of the night, we went to Burger King to get some burgers, you know, for the ladies on the street, some hot burgers with care packages we give out. And we normally do this to minister some, you know, a hot meal, even though it's Burger King. Praise the Lord for Burger King. A hot meal with the care packages and with the gospel of grace, of course, coming through our mouths and by God's grace, our characters and with gospel tracts in each one of those care packages. Anyway, we went to Burger King and, right away Satan started to thwart our purposes. We were told because we ordered 10 burgers to pull up to the, you know, the forward a little bit and pulled right up to, where a group of, what seemed to be gangbangers, drug dealers was hanging out right up at the Burger King next door. So I got to, offer them the gospel in tract form. It was a blessing. And, then they wanted money. And I said, oh, we don't keep cash. We're giving out the gospel of grace. And the guy said, man, get out of here. I said, man, you ain't got no money for me. Get out of here. And I said, praise the Lord. And two of them split. They didn't want no trouble, apparently. At least not the trouble of messing with a messenger of God, which many of these guys respect often in the community, praise the Lord. And he said again, man, get out of here. He said, hey, fam. That's what they call, that's a nickname in the community, family. Hey, fam, get out of here. And I said, by God's grace, I said, praise the Lord. We were waiting for our burgers, and it was a good start. Great opportunity for us all to be sobered and prayerful. And do you know what happened with this guy's friend who was with him? He started rebuking him and saying, man, that's prideful. He said, man, you got great pride, man. What's wrong with you? The Lord was using this man who's sitting there gangbanging, working a deal with him together to rebuke him. And then they started going at it. Man, I got my boys up the street, you know, come down, you know. It was a great opportunity for me to see God sovereignly working all things for our good and His glory. And it was a joy too, just to remember, if he would have pulled out a gun right there and started popping in the car, praise the Lord. For to depart and be with Christ is better by far. And that's such an incredible encouragement we have in our lives to know that God really works all things for our good and His glory. But there's a little problem with us all and our sort of our paradigm, our worldview. Because often we don't think this through when we're going through hard circumstances or situations, or we don't believe it. And often it's because we're ignorant of what it means. So let's dig in into what the text means. Help us, Lord. Because we're going to look at not just what the all things means, but what the good is. We're going to look at what the immutable and changing purpose and foundation of these promises are, and then how this should affect us. Let's dig in. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, those who have been called according to His purpose. And going from the New King James, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. What is included in the all things that God is sovereignly governing over for our good? First, I want to remind you of believers. Believers, all believers, are under the authority and loving headship of their Lord and Savior, whom? Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is for all believers. All believers are under the lordship of Christ. It says in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 that Jesus has been exalted as the head over all thrones and powers and rulers or authorities, and all things were placed under his feet. And he was appointed to be head over everything for the church. Wow. Wow. He's appointed to be head over everything for the church, for believers. It's just incredible. In Colossians 1:13, it says, we've been transferred from the dominion, the kingship of darkness, and placed into the kingship of God's beloved Son. We are under the lordship of Christ as believers. Every believer in this room who's truly trusting Christ can be absolutely assured that he is under the lordship of Christ, that Jesus has him. Jesus said in John 10, 27 through 30, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So if you're a believer today, who can snatch you out of Christ's hand? Who?
No one.
No one. Who can snatch you out of the Father's hand? No one. Glory be to God. So first, what is included in the all things God is sovereignly governing for our good and his glory? On your handout would be all whom? All believers. Excellent. And we're going to get a little deeper into the sovereignty of God. Genesis 50:20. Joseph's brothers, wow, did some pretty nasty things toward him, didn't they? First they were going to kill him, then they chucked him down a well. Then they sold him for some bucks into slavery. Wow, he went through a lot of calamity. And what did Joseph say to his brothers? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. God can do that in his sovereign government. In Proverbs 16:4, it says, the Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Wow. Proverbs 20:24, Solomon answers the question of how can God's sovereignty line up with human responsibility? How do they mesh together? He says, I know they're both true in the Bible, but where do they connect? Solomon says this, wisest man in the world outside of Christ, as far as human beings. Apart from the God-man, Solomon's the wisest man who ever lived. He said this, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? He didn't try to explain it. He just laid it out over and over again. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps. Wow. In Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Wow. All kings?
Yep.
All kings. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authorities is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. Romans 13. Isaiah 10, 5 through 7. Isaiah the prophet says, woe to the Assyrians, the rod of my anger, in whose hand is the club of my wrath, God says. I will send him against a godless nation. I will dispatch him against a people who anger me. Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man who walks to direct his steps. That's all mankind. So help me. Not only does God work all things for, he's governing over all things, all believers, but he's governing over all unbelievers. Now let's get a little deeper and let's see a little bit how this sovereign government can be carried out by God without him ever doing any evil, because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God is holy, holy, holy. Ephesians 1:20, it talks about Christ being exalted over all rulers, authorities, and powers, all angelic ranks. Wow. In 1 Peter 3:22, it says, Jesus Christ, Jehovah saves Jesus Christ, the anointed prophet, priest, and king, redeemer, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Wow. Wow. In Judges 9:22 through 9:25, it says, an evil spirit from the Lord was sent upon the men. Look that up, please. Dig into that on your own. In 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, Paul says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Oh, no, 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 Paul. You should have pleaded with Satan. No, no, no. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, what? No, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Job 1. Satan came before the throne of God, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one else like him. He is blameless and upright. Who offered up Job to Satan? God did. It said it again in chapter 2. It's very clear. God is sovereign over all. Help me. See under number 1. The all things include all angels, good and bad. Let me dig in a little bit with you on this one. 1 Kings 22:19-23. Please open there. 1 Kings 22:19-23. Right before 2 Kings. Oh. Sorry. And this same scene is again in 2 Chronicles, just in case we think, oh, this is a bit of a tough scene for us. So let's not think that God only revealed it once. He revealed it twice at two similar different angles for us, also in Chronicles. Micaiah, the prophet of God, the prophet of Jehovah, Yahweh, said, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the host of heaven standing around him on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? Ahab was a wicked king. He deserved God's justice. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? One suggested this, another suggested that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him, probably Satan. By what means? The Lord replied, here's your demon responsibility, your devil responsibility. The spirit said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouths of all his prophets. You will succeed in enticing him, the Lord said. Go therefore and do it. So now, the Lord has decreed disaster for Ahab. The Lord has sovereignly put a lying spirit in the mouths of all these prophets of yours. God is sovereign over all good and bad angels. That is part of the all things. All believers, all unbelievers, all good and bad angels. Well, hold on, James. It's snowing again, and there's supposed to be more snow coming. Now, surely you can't go as far as to say the weather. That's not included in the all things, is it, James? Let's look. Job 37. He says to the snow, Job says. Actually, it's Elihu, God's first righteous rebuke. He says to the snow, fall on the earth, and to the rain, be a mighty downpour, so that all men may know his work. He stops every man from his labor. It goes on to say in 37 of Job, he brings the clouds to punish men or to water his earth and show his love. God is sovereign over all things. There's plenty more scriptures there for you to dig into God's sovereignty over the weather. And then how about the animals? Well, who was the successor from Elijah? Anybody know? Elisha. Right? Elijah was taken up. He went on up into heaven in a fiery chariot. Well, apparently the rumor was going around and some teenagers wanted to come and mock Elisha. God's next prophet, major prophet that was going to take over the proclamation of God's revealed word. And in 2 Kings 2, 23 through 25, it says Elisha called a curse on them in the name of the Lord, and the Lord sent two bears to come out of the woods and devour many of the youth. 2 Kings 17:25. Assyria. Assyria took the 10 tribes of Israel captive. 722 BC. Assyria left some people there, their own people, to repopulate and to intermarry with the remaining poorest of poor of the Jews there in that land. The 10 tribes of Israel. 10 of the 12, at least. Northern kingdom. They are called, later on, the Samaritans. Well, because their ignorance, they came in, they did not know how to worship the Lord. And it says, look at the text, please, on your own, in your own time. 2 Kings 17:25, the Lord sent lions among them to eat the people. Wow. God did that. The Lord sent lions among them to eat the people. They straightened out. They found out how to worship the Lord. And all throughout the scriptures, we see God's sovereignty over the weather. We see Jesus say, quiet, be still. And what happened? It was quiet. It was still. We see God sovereign over the whale who swallowed Jonah, over the locusts and the gnats in the Exodus judgments, the plagues. We see God's sovereignty over the worm that ate the gourd that covered Jonah. We see God's sovereignty over the fish that paid for Jesus and Peter's tax. God is sovereign over all things. All things. And as believers, we stand here knowing that, and in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. All things. Last night, that guy spoke like that. For my good and our good, every believer in that car, and God's glory, and maybe His good. For God's kindness and patience leads people to repentance. But, okay, I see that, James. Praise the Lord that God is sovereign over all things for my good. But what is the good? Because sometimes it doesn't feel very good, does it? And amen to that, right? Let's dig a little deeper. 8:29. For those whom God foreknew, thank you, brother, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. For those whom God foreknew, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, Jesus, might be the firstborn or the heir among many brothers. That for there in 29 is because. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, those who have been called according to His purpose, because of this. The good is God has planned all things to conform you to the image of Christ. Wow. God is conforming us into the image of His Son. That's Roman numeral 2a, His Son. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all with unveiled face, the veils have been taken down from us, y'all. Beholding as in a spirit. Beholding as by the Spirit, the glory of the Lord, Jesus, are being transformed into the same image. From glory to glory. Wow! From glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. We're being transformed. In Ephesians 4:23, you were taught in regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful lust, your flesh, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, right? To grow, to feed your born-again hearts, and to put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in true holiness and righteousness. Wow. He's changing you more and more into the likeness of Christ, into the likeness of God, it says. The God-man. B. This starts at our... Anybody? When does this start? It's deep, at our creation. Paul says, but God, who set me apart from birth and called me by His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son in me. We don't get it. We don't know that. We don't know anything about it. We don't have faith to glorify God through it. But God, in His wisdom, did He mark out when where Paul would be born, who we'd be born to? For You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be. God appoints where people will, whom they will come through, where they will live. Acts 17:24 through 28. That's something that's not in your paper. Paul says, through one man, God made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined the time set for them, and the exact places where they should live. This starts at your creation. And see, this is or can be known and realized at salvation. No one can even see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. When you're born again, God opens your eyes to see the glory of the fact that you are saved to be conformed into the image of Christ. In the next life, it's going to be full and continue to increase in fullness forever. Praise the Lord. But it starts here. And if it's not going on, something's wrong, saints. 2 Peter 1:10 and 11, Peter says to grow in these things, in grace and knowledge and wisdom and holiness and love and service. He says to make your calling and election sure. And if you get that assurance, you'll never fall. You'll be a dangerous man in this world. Wow, or woman, praise the Lord. Come on. This is or can be realized at salvation. Let's see. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Will God drop the ball if you're truly saved? No. He will continue to conform you into the image of his Son. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Jude 24, now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, he will do it. Romans 8, 28, again through 30, those whom he's predestined, he also called. Those who he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Wow. God continues to do this work until, help me, glorification. When it will be complete, so to speak. Philippians 3:21. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies into ones like his glorious body. He will do it. It might be today, as you could see, right? Signs of the times are very, very clear. The fig tree has been bearing much fruit. Help us, Lord, be ready. Cling to Christ, saints. Let's go on to Roman numeral 3. What is the immutable, unchanging purpose and foundation for these promises? How can I know that God is really working all things for my good and his glory to conform me to the image of Christ? All things, all believers, all unbelievers, all angels, good and bad, and all nature for my good to conform me to the image of Christ. Everything? Wow. How can I know? Look at the end of 28. Who are called according to his purpose. God's purpose. For whom God foreknew or predetermined to know in an intimate relationship. It's synonymous with election. He also predestined. That's predetermined every detail of your destiny. To be conformed to the image of his Son. That he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom he predestinated, these he also called. If A, right there under 30A, he predestinated, whom he predestinated, these he also called. If B wasn't there, guess what? Guess what? Jerry, guess what? You wouldn't have responded. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. If God didn't call you with an effectual call which changed your heart, the spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing, you would not have trusted Christ. Faith is a gift from God, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one could boast. God's sovereign decree, 3a, God's sovereign decree is for his greatest, help me, greatest glory. Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God has made you and created you and saved you and is sanctifying you and working all things together to conform you into the image of Christ for his greatest glory. Because when you're glorified, how perfect will be your giving of him glory. Come on. Praise him. God's electing and predestinating blank for our good. Finish that. For he chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestinated us to be adopted as His sons. Got to fly through this a little bit. In love, God's electing and predestinating love for our good. That is the immutable, unchanging purpose and foundation for these promises. God's sovereign decree, God's electing and predestinating love, Christ's preeminent wisdom, love, power, and position as our Lord and the blank of all things. Wow, let's look at that from the text. From 29, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, His Son, might be the firstborn among many brothers. In the Greek, that's prototokos. That's the preeminent one, the highest in rank, the heir, the second Adam who didn't fail. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Wow. He is our all in all. Christ's preeminent wisdom, love, power, and position as our Lord and the heir of all things. That's clearly laid out in Psalm 2. And of course, going back for a context sake to Romans 8, 26 and 27, the Spirit also makes intercession for us with groans that words cannot express. For He who knows the mind of the Spirit, help me, Lord. The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. God's sovereign, glorious will for us. He's called the seal and guarantee of our inheritance in Ephesians 1, 12 and 13. The Holy Spirit sealing, keeping, and help me. I was thinking praying. It's going to happen, saints. If you're trusting in Christ today, you could be assured that God is working all things together, and is sovereign over all things for your good to conform you into the image of Christ. You do not have to wonder any longer what the all things is, what the good is. All things is all things. The whole of the mass in the Greek. All of it. And the good, you don't have to wonder what that is. He's conforming you into the image of Christ. You say, well, I have cancer. How's that going to conform me to the image of Christ? I say, God promises that it's for your good to conform you into the image of Christ. You're going to be drawing near to God through this. And He's going to take you from this wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked world into infinite glory and bliss. For to depart and be with Christ is better by far. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, death is a glorious doorway for us. How can we internalize these truths? Got a couple minutes here. How can we internalize these truths and own them for our faith to be strengthened and constant? Go back to the text and we know. Go back to 4, please. And we know. It's right there in the text. And we know. Eh? You got to study these things from the Scriptures. You got to study them. So you know them. Study to show yourself a workman approved by God. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And we know, A there, under 4. Get to know these things. Memorize some verses to feed your, help me, feed your faith. That's right. Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What's the opposite of sinning against God? Glorifying God. Memorization is for glorifying God. You want to glorify God through our sufferings? And we know that in all things, God works to the good of those who love him. Oh, Lord, thank you that you are using this cancer, this affliction on my child, this trial in my life, this brokenness that I have to conform me to the image of Christ for your glory. Get to know him, memorize verses so that you can glorify Christ at the time and walk by the Spirit. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, think about such things. Meditate and actively think on these truths. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I will not neglect your word. Of course, preach the word in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and gentle instruction. I love that one. He says, preach the word in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and gentle instruction. There's a balance, huh? We got to be balanced. Help us, Lord. So share these truths with unbelievers. Psalm 105, 1 through 3 says, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. God wants us to be shining lights on the rooftops. He wants us to be humble, holy, loving servants toward people and shining beacons of light in every way. Not just to speak it, to live it out, but not just to live it out, also to speak the gospel. Nobody gets saved unless they hear the gospel. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And one more to close. Psalm 117. It's the shortest psalm in the Bible regarding applying these glorious truths. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Those who have been called according to his purpose. For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn, the highest in rank among many brothers. He's our Lord. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. It's a done deal in God's mind. God is going to work all things for every believer's good, to conform them into the image of Christ and for his glory. And the whole Godhead guarantees it. The Father has planned and promised it. The Son has purchased it. And the Holy Spirit has applied it, seals us, and works in us and through us to guarantee it. Psalm 117, praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Last night, we got to minister to Tanya, a lady who's so caught up in bondage and prostitution in the north side. Also, gracious lady Smiley. Also, we got to minister in depth to both of these ladies. Enough to show them the love of Christ through our actions and give them care products that would help them immediately and gospel truth that would help them eternally. It was a glorious opportunity. Please start to live this out today by praying for Tanya and for Smiley, that God might use His glorious, powerful gospel to radically change them from the inside out and use them mightily for His kingdom. Pray with me, would you? And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, those who have been called according to His purpose. Thank you, God. Thank you that we know this is a reality, that You are governing and have planned all things, all believers, all unbelievers, all angels, good and bad, all providence and creation, to work together for our good, to conform us to the image of Your Son. And that will be consummated in glorification. It's already done in Your decree, O God. Lord, help us remember these things. Help us meditate and memorize and study and show ourselves, Lord, as glorious believers for Your sake and Your fame. Lord, change us more and more so that we could be used of You to change others. Save Tanya, Lord. Save Smiley, Lord. Save the young man at Burger King who wanted to threaten us, Lord. Save him for Your glory. And use us, Lord, to love people with Your gospel, to love Your word over people. And as we pray, as we prepare now for the Lord's table, Lord, help us. Help us examine our hearts so that we could take it with repentant, clean hearts that are trusting in Your work, O Christ, on the cross. Help us, Papa, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.